All right, now, we are, I'm not sure what number this is, but I'm going to say Spiritual Warfare, Volume 2, and this is part 24 of that, but it's the second part of Releasing the Power. Now, if you can figure that out, you good. All right, praise God. I'm going to leave it right there. Let's go over to Ephesians again, Ephesians chapter 6. Yes, it is. Okay, so what was on here is right. The part 2, Releasing the Power, part 2. Yeah, okay, great. All right. Now, don't forget, now I'm not preaching. I'm teaching tonight. Don't y'all be trying to pull me into a preaching anointing and so forth, see? Because you got to let me teach here sometime, because teaching gives you understanding. So. All right, look what he says here in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, what do? Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, where we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're in this area called Releasing the Power. Let's come over to Acts, please, Acts chapter 1. Releasing the Power. Over in Acts chapter 1, he said, and starting in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. Now, what I said Sunday, we were talking about being in the world, that the church was not designed to be separate from the world. We're designed to be in the world, but not what? Of the world. But we're not designed to be detached from the world, that we are to go into the world. Now, let's look at Psalms chapter 66, please. Open the book of Psalms chapter 66. He said, and this I'll start reading here at verse 3. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies do what? Submit themselves to you. So as we remember, when Moses went down there to Pharaoh, God warned Moses. He said, now Pharaoh is going to ask you to do a miracle. In other words, if you're going to serve God, you're going to speak the fact that you are coming representing God, then he's going to ask you to show proof that you are. And I think what has been left out of the gospel is basically the demonstration of the gospel. That many times we are convincing people by word of mouth. In other words, we're telling them, well, you know, Jesus rose from dead and so forth. And that's good. But I tell you, there is nothing, one man said, one miracle is almost worth 1,000 sermons. one miracle. Now, he's saying here that there's a demonstration that should take place. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 24. This is starting at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And that's the reason for the power. The power is for witness. That's the main reason for the power. It's for witnessing. It's for people seeing something different about us that's on them. I'll start with this story, and then I'm going to talk about faith just a little bit. But I was, this when I was taking the Word of God, and we had just gotten here, and I guess it was about 5 months after we arrived back in Chicago, because we came here, like I said, with how much money? $200. That's a miracle right there, praise God. And so what happened was, I was going downtown to meet a friend who I'd met through the teaching that we were doing. And he wanted to buy me lunch, And so I was going down there to meet him. And I was on LaSalle Street. As you know, LaSalle Street is kind of like Wall Street in New York. And it's got all the business and all the mercantile chains, so forth and so on, and securities. And so what happened was I was walking down the street. It was around noontime. And there was a commotion way across the street. And I didn't pay any attention to it because it wasn't my business. I was walking on the other side of the street. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God said, I want you to go over there to him. Now, this, you know, it kind of got my attention here. To go where? Go over there to him. And I'm saying, no, wait a minute now. You know, in my mind, logically, that's not even my business. The Bible says something about when you see two dogs fighting, don't get in it. That's in the Bible. And so, no, what he wanted me to do is he wanted me to bring the kingdom across that street for whatever reason. And so I kept walking. So there was a gentleman behind me, and I just happened to look behind me, you know. And this guy was looking at me. Now, all the commotion was over there, but he was looking at me. I said, man. So I got convicted. And I said, go over there to him. So I turned to go, and I looked both ways to see if any cars were coming, and the street was clear. And so I stepped down, remember, I stepped down into the street off the curb. And when I did that, something came over me that I cannot explain to this day. And I felt totally invincible. Totally invincible. But I want you to know, it didn't just happen while I was walking down the side of the street. It happened when I obeyed God. See, God will give you the grace to do whatever he's called you to do when you obey him. Say amen. And so I went over there, got in the other part of the side of the street, and the guy was about 10 paces in front of me. And the devil must have told him I was back there. Because when I squared off behind him about 10 paces, he just turned around just like that. And I said to myself, I know this is the devil right here, you know. And so I kept walking, you know, so he then, his shoulders started to shrink and his legs were wide, it came up and the gate kind of closed up. And I went up there. Now understand, by this time, all these people around him, because he was kicking at people as they were trying to get him to stop doing something or whatever have you. And so a circle had formed around him. So I'm breaking through the circle now, and I put my arm around his shoulders because he's a big guy. And so I said, mister, what's your problem? He said, they stole my cigarettes. Now, that was the state that he was in. And God wanted the people to see that there was a power stronger than what was there. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, he wants people to see there's a power stronger than terrorism. He wants people to see there's a power stronger than the gangs on the south side. He wants people but we are the only ones that can release that kind of power. Say amen to this. And a lot of times we're sitting in the seat trying to figure it out. But God gives you commands. He just wants you to go somewhere. Now that's the first point. Now the second point is I had to step out in faith. One of the things that I want to do is I want to teach you how to walk in great faith. Not little faith. Great faith. Now, when you're walking in great faith, you will always have your way. You will always have what you want. When you, that was a big amen right there. You will, when you're walking in great faith, because that great faith, let me give you some levels of faith. God, I was the other day, just, you know, kind of, you know, talking with God, and he was talking about some things. And he was talking about faith. And he said, son, you know, he was talking to me about developing more faith. And so I said, okay. Now, faith connects you with the ability of God. All right? Faith connects you with the ability of God. Now, when you're connected with the ability of God, that means that you are basically unlimited in your abilities when you're connected with the ability of God. See, you're designed to have an unlimited potential mindset. You're designed to have that. You're designed to have a mindset that there's no limit to what you can think, no limit to what you can be, and no limit to what you can do. I'm gonna hit those in just a minute. So, he told me that. He said, now, what's the first, healing, for example. He said, give me levels of faith in healing, because there are levels of faith, see. I said, okay. I said, the first level of faith, I would say, in healing is I got faith that the doctor is going to help me do the right thing. That's probably the first level of faith that a person could have, that the doctor is going to help me. That's the first level. All right, let's go to a higher level. The next level of faith, that I believe that the Bible says, call for the elders of the church, and they'll anoint you with oil, that's James chapter 5, and the prayer of faith shall save or heal the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, then any sins will be forgiven. So the next one is that the elders can pray for me. Could be man or woman, whatever have you, but somebody else is going to do your praying. That's the next level of faith. My faith is in their faith. Got it? Y'all with me? All right. So the next level is having faith in somebody else's faith. Then the next level is that I can believe God myself for my healing. Now, I call that faith in the Word. Now, if in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, he talks about the Word of God. He says, for the Word of God is what? Quick and powerful, come on, and sharper than a two-edged sword. Over in Psalm chapter 107 and verse 20, he said that he sent his Word, and it healed them and delivered them from their what? Destructions. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, he says that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was what? With God, come on. And the Word was God. Keep going. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by who? Him. Who's Him? God. Who's God? The Word. See, everything you see was made by the Word. Well, if everything you see was made by the Word, oh, have mercy. See, the Word can heal you. You take the Word, but you got to have faith in the Word. So it got something going on in your body, so you take the Word. So I tell people, take Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he has borne my sickness, carried my diseases, yet they did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace is upon him, and with his stripes I'm healed. Now, I say that. Let's say I say that 5 to 7 times. And then I go to another scripture over in Romans chapter 11, verse chapter 8, pardon me, and verse 11. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. That I said, the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in me, and he that raised up Christ from the dead shall what? Shall what? quicken. Another word for quicken is restore. Restore life to my mortal body. So whatever's bothering my body, the word of God can come in and restore life to it. See, sickness is limited death. See, something died, something didn't work properly, and death tries to take over. All right, then I go to 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bore my sins in his own body on the tree, that I, being dead to sins, live into righteousness, by whose stripes I'm healed. So I'll take that. I'll say the first one 6 or 7 times, third one 6 or 7 times, third one 6 or 7 times. And then what I'll do is I'll wait till the next day. Because the word says over in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. He said in Proverbs, now this is me healing myself, getting myself healed. He said, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings, and let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are what? Life to those that find them, and what else? Health to all their flesh. Now, wait a minute. The original said medicine. So the word of God is what? Medicine. So it's medicine to all my body. So as the doctor can prescribe medicine, because I have faith in the doctor, when I get mature enough to have faith in the word, I can take medicine right out of the word of God by reading it, confessing it, and it will do for me more than that medicine from the doctor. Because this doesn't have any side effects. But I gotta believe before this will work. Are y'all with me here? All right? So that's another level. So believe God for my own healing. That's level 3. Then he said, are you done? I said, no, sir. He said, okay, what's the next level? Well, the next level is I can believe God. Watch it. For replacement parts. All right, now this. look at Psalms. Well, y'all tripping out. I can feel it. Look at Psalm chapter 39. See, I don't need a healing now. A person might need a new kidney. Come on now, I'm getting the different levels by which you can mature as a son of God. So that's what my title is tonight. My title is releasing the power, but it's called sonship. See, sonship doesn't mean a gender. Sonship means mature offspring. See, it's when we are mature. See, but we got to grow into that now. Each time, you got to step out in it. Each time, you got to step off the curve. And look what he says here in Psalm chapter 39 and verse 5. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. So you fashioned my members when there was none of them. Now just stay with me. Let's look at Matthew chapter 15. Over in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, I know y'all, I can feel you now, right? Man, this is something else. No, it's faith. And it's according to your faith be it unto you. Look at verse 29 of Matthew 15. And Jesus departed from thence, and he came nigh into the Sea of Galilee. And he went up into the mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came to him, having with them those that were what? Lame, keep going. Blind, keep going. Dumb, keep going. Let's just stop right there. Whoop, 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 whoop. What is a maimed person? All right, a person that's missing a part, an organ, of missing something, all right? Are you following what I'm saying now? So Jesus came to the maimed. The maimed were brought to him. And look at verse 31. insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the lame to be made whole. Now, what are you going to do with that? You got to believe it. Because he can take, Lord have mercy. It's according to what we will believe. This is where I saw Charles and Francis Hunter. I think they're all both going on to be with the Lord now. But this is where I saw them operate in terms of the maimed being made whole. Glory to God. Do we have that example that I showed where the man woke up and found the elbow replacement on the side of his elbow and his elbow completely healed? Get my cell phone and I'll pull it up and let them see it. Now, what am I doing with this? Because the only way we can operate in this level where we can stop storms, stop crime, we got to move on up in faith. It's not that God doesn't want to do it. It's just God is waiting on us to grow up. Come on, folks. Don't make me work for this now. This is flow. Okay. All right. Now. Brother Kenneth Hagin had something, and I wrote it down here out of his book. And he talked about, they found it. Okay, good. Just put that in my bag in the front pocket there. Do you have it? If you have it, show it. Because the man woke up and this piece was laying beside his elbow that was in his arm. Are you following what I'm saying? It was laying beside it when he woke up. So God can put you to sleep. Now you got to hear this, because we don't want any limit to what we can believe. Because God made it that way. See, the thing that happens is he can't go any further than we're willing to believe. And we need that. Glory to God. What I told you is that you are designed to live with an unlimited mindset. And that you are designed to live with no limits on what you can think. Amen. You no limits on what you can believe. And it's a choice. It's a choice. You can choose not to believe that. People can choose not to believe that Jesus died for their sins. Watch this. And will not be saved. But they can also choose that he did die for their sins. Watch this. Now, here's the whole story about it. Glory to God. I'm preaching tonight. I don't care what you say. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, somebody said, well, what's the use in this? The use of this that I'm teaching, it's trying to get you to know all things are possible so that you won't limit yourself anymore in what you are not doing this. See, that's the good news of the kingdom. Hold it. I wrote this thing down here. The good news of the kingdom, glory to God, and I preach it on Sunday, is this. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to figure it out. This is the best news in the world. God can take you to the top without you ever figuring it out. You'll be up there at the top trying to figure out how you got here. And all you got to do is let him do it. See, he does it all. He does it all. Our job is to receive, not to achieve. My job was to go across the street. God was going to settle everything else. That man was violent over there. Now, you don't go over there unless God tells you to go over there. That's, I just want to make sure of that. Okay, so that is where he said, now, are you done? I said, no, I'm not done. He said, then what's the next level of faith? The next level of faith is that every virus, disease, and germ that touches your body dies instantly. That if your body even acts like it's trying to malfunction, something will kick in. That it replenishment starts taking place. Isn't this wonderful? So whatever's wrong with you, God can fix you. And watch this. He's planned it before you ever got in the earth. He knew that on certain day you were going to hurt a certain thing and this was going to be the result of it. But he also knew he made a way to fix it. And the way has to be accessed by faith. Are we okay? Say thank you, Jesus. All right. Okay, I'm done with that. So why did I want to go through that? Because religion will have you to live by what you can do in your own ability. That's the thing that religion does. It draws you in to what you can do. Christianity brings you what God can do. And God can do it all. Are you with me? All right, let me just finish this up. Colossians chapter 2. Let's go there. All right. Now, whether you know it or not, death is not from God. I don't know whether you know that. Mankind was not designed to die. Death is not from God. Here is a little boy over in Mark chapter 5 who died at Jairus' house. What did Jesus come to the house and do? He raised him up. Here was a man that had been dead 4 days and stinking, named Lazarus, and what did Jesus do to him? He raised him up. He's proving you that death is not from God. Let's look at First Chronicle. I know I got you going to Colossians chapter 2. I'm coming back. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at verse 26. All right? The last enemy that shall be destroyed, come on, is death. Death is not a friend. Death is an enemy. God plans. Now stay with me and don't be trying to fight me. For you to live in this earth for 120 years. Amen. Without being attached to a machine. You'll be surprised how much of the world's programming we have been programmed with. We have been programmed with the fact that we saw our grandmother at 75 years old and she's barely getting around. Come on now. We've been programmed. Come on. They even show it to you on television. So it's in there and your mind is telling your body what to do. And it tries to tell this system to stop functioning like it should, whatever have you. Now, how do you renew your mind? With the Word of God. I got to take that Word and say something about my life that is not apparent yet. I got to take it and whip it in there. I got to say it and say it and say it, even though it doesn't look like it. I got to keep saying it. Come on, I got to keep saying it. Come on, because the Word will not return void. And what God's got to do with that saying it is convert your belief system. Because if you can believe, he will do it. He can't violate what you believe. Good God. Now, the only thing I'm saying here is because you need the church to be a witness. They need to see something on your life that they say, I want that. And if we're in the same condition that they are, it's hard for them to say that. Now, it might be other areas and so forth, but they need to see something about your intelligence, something about your habits, something about your marriage, something about your money, something about you. If nothing else, smile. You're on candid camera. No, just kidding. But my point to you is, they need to see something. And pretty much the church has not been demonstrating that because it's not been taught that. Because for me to teach you this, you're going to have to leave the system you're trusting in for you to do this. You'll have to leave it. You're going to have to leave it. At one point or another, you have to say, okay, I'm going to get this healing from the Word of God. I heard pastors say that you can do that. This is the way I learned it, folks. I learned to cancel my debts by hearing another man say that he took his bills and put them on the table and pointed at them. I said, well, he'll do it for him. He'll do it for me. Say amen to that. Now, don't you know somebody's told me doing that and say, what are you doing? Now it might look foolish, but you got to be willing to not be ashamed of the gospel that Jesus preaches about. Does this make sense to you? I'm talking about releasing the power.
Yes.
Because we've had it, but when is it going to be released? And I'm saying my job is to teach you going on up. I want it so that we can cancel any debt within 7 days. Amen. Let me come over here. I want it so that you can cancel any debt within 7 days. Wouldn't that be something? I'd like it so that not only you believe God for money, check it out, watch this, but you can believe God for exactly when it's going to manifest. This money will be here by 3:20 on Friday afternoon. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm working you now. No. That's your faith working. See, faith can do that, but God is waiting on you. Now, let me just read this, what Brother Hagin said, because I think this is worth you hearing. He said this. God told Brother Hagin, no earthly father desires to do more for his children than I do. If my children would just let me. All right, watch this. So Brother Hagin prayed. Now, he's talking about there's no limit on our authority in the earth. There's no limit. He prayed for a loved one that was either a member of the family or someone close to him who was near death. He said, Lord, the Lord said, I will do whatever you tell me to do. He said, so I asked the Lord to give this person 2 or 3 more years. And the Lord replied, he'll do it just because I ask him. I've been there. I went into a man's room, a dear friend of mine, and I said, Lord, I went in there, I saw his condition. But I knew his relationship with the Lord was not good. And I went and I prayed, solitary prayer with me and the Lord. I said, Lord, give him 7 more years. And he gave him 7 more years. And in that period of time, I was kind of praying for him that he would come and know the Lord. But after 7 years, he was out. Now, I'm not saying that I had something to do with him going out. I'm saying I prayed that he'd give him 7 more years. Now, this is scripture. Turn back to 2 Kings, please. In 2 Kings and chapter 20. Say authority. God has designed for you to live with an unlimited potential mindset. Glory to God, man. This is good preaching here. Here's a man, look what it said in verse 1. Now in those days, Hezekiah was sick to death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech you, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out unto the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal you on the third day, and thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. Watch this. And I will add to your days, come on, 15 years. And I will deliver. I'm just saying, Brother Hagin said this. He said, listen, God told him, no earthly father desires to do more for his children than I do. If my children would just let me. And he wants to do some things here. I'm almost done now. I'm almost done. We're the ones that hold the authority for him to do the things for us that he would like to do. Now, let me try to read this. And I got my notes here. Can't y'all feel that? That's the Holy Ghost. All right. Glory to God. Oh Lord. Woo-wee. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's start at Colossians chapter 2. We're finishing up now. It's Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Ask him for what you want, because you are seated with Jesus, and you are the one that has to ask for what you want. He is willing to give you whatever you desire that's lined up with his word. I mean, he wants you to think like he thinks. I can hear him now. Ask me for something. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, look what it says. Buried with him in baptism, wherein we are also risen with him through the faith in the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. Who raised Jesus from the dead? The Father God. Next verse. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. So, as he raised up Jesus from the dead, he also raised you up from the dead. Now understand that the penalty for sin is death. But what God did is he put all of it on Christ, and he paid the penalty for sin for us all, so you are raised forgiven. Now, Satan now tried to oppose Jesus from coming up. Look what it says next verse in that. He said this, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailing it to his cross. Watch this. And having what? Spoil principalities. See, when Jesus started getting up, Satan tried to block the way. He and his demons tried to oppose the resurrection. Glory to God. But Jesus beat them in open combat and took from them what they were holding, which was mainly the authority. And so once he spoiled principalities and powers, then God gave him a name. Look at Philippians chapter 2, if you will, in verse 9. Philippians 2 and verse 9. Look what it says here. This is Jesus getting up now. Wherefore God has what? Highly exalted him. Come on. And given him a name that is above every name. Keep going. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And the things in heaven, in the things in the earth, and what's under this earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus now was raised up, undisputed champion of the universe. And in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, Jesus even said this himself. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have back now the keys of hell and death. Glory to God. So he took back the authority that Satan had at one time. Go on over, please, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. And look what he says here. In Hebrews chapter 2, I think it's verse 14, he said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had what? The power of death, that is the devil. Now notice what he said. He had it. He doesn't have it anymore. See, death has been dealt with by Jesus. And death was the strongest thing that Satan had. Look at the next verse. Next verse. And he said, and deliver them who through fear, come on, of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That if Satan couldn't threaten you with anything else, he'll threaten you with death. And I'm telling you now, he can threaten all he want to, that Jesus has taken the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And now you can live with Jesus a full life, and the devil can't kill you. So I cancel the assignment of death over your life. No more premature death in this church and in who is listening to this teaching. In the name of Jesus. Now give God praise and receive it. That whatever's now is wrong with your body, when he took Jesus and he put him over everything, everything, including disease, including infirmity, including failures, and anything that you can name, the name of Jesus is over that and will control that. So right now, in the name of Jesus, whatever has been plaguing your life, that ever has been dogging you, trying to keep you from God's best, whatever's been in your body that's been holding you back, that's not letting you be fully the person that God intended, I cancel it right now in the name of Jesus. And I command every body part in your body to function as God created it to function in Jesus' name. Now give God praise, because we're going to receive that. Glory to God. Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's the author and finisher of our faith. And he said that what God did through me, he'll do through you. He wants to do the same thing today that he did yesterday. That includes new body parts. Come on, that includes, see. And I'm telling you right now that the enemy will try to threaten you with sickness, disease, or death. That terrorism thing is after death. It's trying to put death in people's lives. But no longer will you be afraid of anything. No more premature deaths. Ah. With long life shall he satisfy you and show you his salvation. Did you get something out of that tonight? Praise God. Woo-wee. Now, when you first came to Christ, you were a baby Christian. But then you start transitioning from milk to meat. You start eating the meat of the word. And this blessing that I'm teaching on Sunday, it's about the meat of the word. And folks, you got it. Don't think you got to feel it first. When he told me to step out there and go over there, I didn't feel a thing. That's why I didn't want to go. But when I stepped, the grace of God. He never intended for you to do it in your own strength. My God shall supply every need you might have. Don't think you're too old for this, too young for this. God can make you a millionaire at 18. Very easy. Only thing you have to do is surrender to God. And folks, I find, I was teaching my staff yesterday, that it starts with the heart. It starts with the heart. That out of the heart comes everything for God. When God picked David, the Bible says, don't look at his stature, because he's about Bill Winston's size. But look at his heart, because that's what I look for. See, he know your body messed up, but he knows your heart. And he judges you by your heart. That's why you're going to get to heaven. And some people you say, I know he ain't going to heaven. Then you get up there and say, what you doing here? Yeah, because the man's heart was right. So I'm just saying, this is good news now. It's good news. Jesus took it all back. So I'm saying knowing that helps you with your maturity. Because when you know that and know where you stand with his authority, you're more willing to step out in it. Because you got faith in his ability, not your own. Is there somebody here? You need to be born again. God sent you here. I want to let you know right now. The good news is that he chose you. He didn't leave you out there. He
He brought you into a place where you could be saved. And when you get saved, you get the power.